You guys have a good week? Maybe. Possibly. A couple people did, maybe. Praise the Lord for that. Oh, gosh. Is the Lord good or what? Isn't he? Huh? Mm. Our Lord is good. He really is. I had an interesting week this week. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, I guess. I just wanted to share this really quick. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here shortly, because the message you gave me this morning is kind of different, I guess, for me. So we'll go with that and see what happens. So, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I go to the dermatologist once a year, you know, because I'm out in the sun every day, all day long. You know, 12, 14, 16 hours, whatever. And went to the dermatologist. I found a spot on my neck I didn't like. He took a biopsy of it. It is melanoma. It's in situ. That's how you say it? In situ? Yeah, in situ. It means it hasn't spread, it hasn't went anywhere, so they're going to do a little more cutting on my neck in a couple of weeks. So just so everybody's aware, that's nothing. Lord was good. Got a good prognosis there, but yeah, there's nothing there to be concerned about. But I thought it was interesting, because when they call you from the doctor, says, we need to have you come in and talk to us about what we want to do. And it's like, well, what's going on? Well, we'll tell you when you get here. It's like, it just makes you kind of wonder, doesn't it? Huh? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You think, okay, whatever. And it's like, and then you get all these thoughts, and you think, No. What am I, and you guys look at the sermon title today. Sermon title today is, I got two of them. I got, who do you believe, or who is the true God? Who do you believe? Do you believe all that stuff in the back of your head, or do you believe what God tells you? So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to see where the Lord's going to take this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. Father, we just have to take a breath, maybe two, and just stop, knowing that our life is full of stuff. We have places to go, people to see, things to do. But Father, for this few moments, we need you to stop, relax, realize that you are God, and you are in control. You're in our presence this morning, Father, and we just want you to say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done, and we're going to praise and magnify you in it. Father, I want to step aside, and I want you to use me to fulfill your word in only the way you can. And I praise you. Father, I love you. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. So, you guys want to look at the verses of Scripture? I got a couple of them here. I wanted to read you something. Romans chapter 8. It's not on the list of Scriptures. You don't have to go there. I just want you to see this here. Romans chapter 8. The verses of Scripture that's in there is, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay? That's 10:17. But chapter 8. I want to read you this here, because I want you to understand something here. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you know the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, to live inside you? He does, that power. Verse 15, for the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear. You have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. It's Daddy. Daddy. The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of the Almighty God. Isn't that nice? Listen to this. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only one... This is the part of the verse you skip over. I'm an heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. You mean to tell me I am a child of the Almighty God? Yeah. Yeah. This part of the verse you don't like, though. Only if we must share His suffering, we are to share His glory. Paul goes a little bit further. He says, but what of that? Verse 18. But what of that? What of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. That is a translation of the language of the people. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Huh? You are a child of the Almighty God. When things come against you in your life, what do you do? Do you run? Do you go hide? Woe is me? Get on your pity pot? Huh? We're all guilty of it. Every one of us are guilty of it. But as a child of the Almighty God, we know He is in control. This week I was listening to a preacher and it really hit me. I never thought of it in this way before. He said, you know the verse of Scripture that says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he said, we fear death so much. But he said, you know what? When I die, I'm going to open my eyes in the presence of the Almighty God. There's not going to be a transition of death. You're going to die and be in the presence of the Almighty God. How much better can it get? Huh? Huh? The older you get, like me, you get older, you think, man, there's all kind of stuff that bad could happen. How many times a week do I drive to Columbus back and forth and almost get wrecked? Almost, I mean, it's terrible. These people are idiots. I bless them every time they go by. Get them, Lord. Sick them. Sick them. Get that guy. What's the matter with that guy? Huh? You know what I'm saying? No, well, it's getting off the beaten path. We're going to go back to the book of 1 Kings. You know, you can live an extraordinary life, even though it doesn't matter what your outward condition are. I told you a couple weeks ago about Johnny Erickson Tata. I mean, she's paralyzed from the neck down for 60-some years. She has an amazing ministry. And she said if she wouldn't be paralyzed, she wouldn't have that ministry because she wouldn't even be doing it. There'd be something else God had her doing. But He has a pretty captive audience, doesn't He? She can't move. I mean, she can move her head. That's it. She can talk, blink her eye. That's it. Wow. And she has an amazing ministry. So just because your outward circumstances look bad, doesn't mean you can't be doing something for the Lord. And this is a long, drawn-out thing, and I'm going to try and make it as short and sweet as possible. Because there's some pretty amazing stuff Elijah does. Elijah was a prophet. It's in the Old Testament. He was kind of a prophet, and King Ahab was the king then. And King Ahab did everything in verse, what, in chapter 16, I think it is. 16. It says, let's just look at it here real quick. I want to read it to you because I don't want to mess it up here. He did more so to anger the Lord because of what he did. Verse 33, and Ahab made some junk that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel before him. This guy's pretty bad, isn't he? Huh? Pretty bad guy. Well, here comes in verse 7 or chapter 17, here comes Elisha the Tishbite. He comes on the scene and he says, you know what? Because you have not listened to the Lord our God, you are not going to have rain on the earth for 3.5 years, and that's by my word. Now, if you came to the President of the United States and said, listen, dude, you're messed up. You're messed up. This whole thing is messed up. God is going to judge you. He's not going to let it rain for 3. So we probably want to go on a book tour, wouldn't we? Do some signing stuff, you know, go do some stuff. You know, God probably have us out there, you know, working the crowd, stuff like that. Ready? No, he tells Elisha, why don't you go hide? So Elisha goes and hides. For 3 years, he's going. He's hiding for 3.5 years. It doesn't rain, and there's no dew for 3.5 years. Think about that. I mean, we go, what, a month or so, think, boy, I hope it rains pretty soon. It's getting pretty dry out there. Huh? And we got years where, man, I wish it would quit raining because it's really wet out there. They didn't have rain for 3 years. Can you imagine what that would be like? It would be, there'd be nothing. Wouldn't have to mow your yard. Be nothing but a dust bowl. When the wind blew, there'd be dust blowing everywhere. It'd be terrible, right? This is the situation we find ourselves. When we come to chapter 18, there's a lot of things that goes on. Can't cover all of it, but I want you to see some things. In chapter 18, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So Elijah goes to show himself. Well, in the meantime, Ahab and Obadiah, his guy that he has with him, his second command there, they're going out, they're going to find some place for the horses, the cattle, to have some. They're grazing. There's got to be something left. The animals are dying. Really bad. So Elijah goes and shows himself to Obadiah, and Obadiah, we find, fears the Lord. I want to read you this. Yeah, I can't pass this up here. Elijah, he says, he meets him and he says in verse 8. It says, go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah's here. And Obadiah goes into a whole thing about saying, you know what? The king has went to every kingdom looking for you. They have signed a paper, said they couldn't find you. He says, so now you're going to tell me to go tell Ahab, and as soon as I leave, God's going to whisk you away in the spirit, and then he's going to kill me. Long story short. He says, listen, Elijah, I have feared God from my youth. I have, when Jezebel, your wife, killing the prophets. Check this out. 3 years, no rain. Ahab's fault, what he's doing. His wife is going to kill him, Christians, because they're blaming the Christians. How messed up is that? That's what she's doing. Okay. So, Obadiah says, I kept 100 prophets in a cave by 50s, and I fed them bread and water. I kept them alive, kept them hidden, kept them alive. And this is what I've done. And now you're going to have Ahab kill me. Long story short, Elijah says, He says, you go show yourself, you go tell Ahab I'm here and I'll be here. So Obadiah, verse 16, Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And Ahab sees Elijah and what's he say? Are you the one that troubles Israel? Really? Elijah says, I haven't troubled Israel, but you have in your father's house by forsaking the commandments of the Lord and by following the Baals, gods of Baals. Elijah says, it's not my fault. He could have went into a whole big spiel here, couldn't he? He probably could have. He could have brought up a lot of stuff. But Elijah goes on here. Let's just keep moving here. Verse 19. Therefore send and gather to me Israel, all Israel at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the goddess Asherah who eat at Queen Jezebel's table. I never caught that before. You know when you read the Bible through and you listen to it. Do you ever miss stuff, little thing? I'm thinking 450 prophets of Baal and then 400 prophets. So there's 850 in my math, correct? I think it is. Wow. So Ahab goes and sends the Israelites and assembles the prophets at Mount Carmel. Okay, we got this up on this mountain. Things are going to start happening. Elijah comes near to all the people and he says, how long will you halt and limp between two opinions? And this is the verse of scripture that I was looking at when I'm going through this stuff. It's like, how long are you going to limp around, gimpy gimp, gimpy limp? How long are you going to limp around between two opinions? Are you going to believe me or are you not? You know that night when I went to bed, I prayed. I always pray before I go to bed. I know you guys do too. I don't pray, nah, lay me down to sleep. But no. I go to the Lord and say, listen, I just praise you for this day. I thank you for being my God. Forgive me the strength to get through this day. And I'm praising you for giving me a good night's sleep. And you know what, Father? I'm praising you for a good report. Huh? I'm praising you for a good report. And I believe it. And you know what? I slept like a baby. Huh? Until that alarm went off. Well, no. Because I always get up before the alarm. What's up with that? Something wrong with a guy like that in there, huh? There's something wrong with a guy. And I need more than 2 hours of sleep. Come on, Matt. I need at least 4 or 5. I mean, come on. I can't do 2. Nobody does 2, right? You can't move. You can't function, right? But I always wake up almost an hour before my alarm goes off. What's up with that? That's a good question. You guys think about that. Let me know, all right? I'd like the answer. Sorry. Anyway. So he says, how long are you going to limp between? And that's the verse of scripture that I really hit. And it's like, how long are you going to limp? You going to believe me or not? You know? And he says here, if the Lord is God, follow him. If the Lord is God, believe what he says and do it. Huh? That's all he's saying. And he says, but if Baal, then follow him. The people didn't answer him a word. And I find that interesting because you know what? These people knew who God was. They were his children. God had chosen this people. There had so much stuff happened in their history. They knew it. They wouldn't answer him a word. Were they ashamed? Were they embarrassed? Did they enjoy sacrificing and all the junk that had to do with Baal? Don't know. Doesn't say. But they answered him not a word. So he goes on. Elijah says to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450. He says, he's going to set up a scenario here. I hope you guys know the story, but it's kind of cool. It says, let two bulls be given us. Let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire on it. And I will dress the other bull, lay it on the wood, and put no fire on it. Now, back in this time, you got to know a little history. What they would do was, they would have an altar. And they would have a little trench dug, a little hidey thing. And they put all the stuff on the altar. And these guys would be doing their thing. And somebody would sneak up there, and they would light that from underneath. Make it look, oh, God showed up, you got fire. You know what I mean? That's what they did. That was how they snuck around and did this. And so Elijah says, don't put no fire under it. That's what he's telling me. He ain't going to sneak around. This is going to be something here. Okay? So, verse 24, it says, then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the one who answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered, it's well spoken. That's a good idea, Elijah. I think that's a good idea. Let's just prove this thing out. So Elijah says in verse 25 to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. See, that's very important because he wants them not to put a sneaky fire under this. We're going to let God answer. Okay. So they take the bull, given them, dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. So they're just, yeah, calling on Baal, whatever they're doing. I don't know how they would do that, but anyway. It says, O Baal, hear us, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped upon or limped about the altar. And I picture this in my mind. Could you imagine 450 grown men? Yeah. Huh? Can you imagine how dumb that would look? In my mind, I'm thinking, Elijah had to be just going, you know what I mean? He had to be laughing. It gets worse. It gets a lot worse. Verse 27, at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's musing, or he's going aside, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. This is bad. This is really bad. Because I want you to understand the actual Hebrew reading of what he was doing here. Elijah says, he's a god, perhaps he's musing. I'm thinking. That's what the picture is. I'm thinking. You know, you ever see that picture, that statue, the thinking man? I mean, it's probably not true, but I mean, the guy's, you know, thinking. That's what he said. Maybe he's just thinking. You know what I mean? He's thinking, maybe. What's the second thing he says? He says, he's musing. He is musing, or he is going aside. Basically what he's saying, he's probably just in the restroom and he needs somebody to get him out. He's in a celestial outhouse. He stopped at a celestial outhouse and he's busy right now, so you got to make a little more noise because he can't hear you knock on the door. Are you in there? That's what he's saying. I'm like, wow, pretty gutsy, huh? That's what he's telling these guys. He says, maybe he's just in the bathroom. That's what it means in the Hebrew. That's just weird, isn't it? It gets worse. And maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's just on taking a trip. I said, maybe he took one on vacation. He just went on vacation. You got to get him to come back. He's just vacationing somewhere. Yeah. No. And then he says, maybe he's sleeping. This word for sleep is dead. Maybe he's just dead and you got to wake him up. I mean, Elijah's just throwing this out there. You know what I mean? Like, whoa. He's got to know who he's dealing with, God, doesn't he? He's got to know who God is, doesn't he? He's just not talking about God. He's feeling the power of God. He's in the presence of God. Right? Man. Let's keep going. And they cried aloud. They cut themselves after their custom with knives and lances. And the blood gushed out. Ugh. Sounds like quite a scene, doesn't it? Midday passed, and they played the part. And they played the part of the prophets until the time for offering the evening sacrifice. It's starting to get dark, guys. You guys better, I mean, it's starting to get dark. Nothing's happened. Listen to this. But there was no voice, no answer. No one paid attention. This is a triple negative. They got nothing. They're hollering and screaming and yelling all day long. I got to be getting hoarse by this time, right? They're cutting themselves and blood. I mean, it's like, yeah. You know what I mean? And they got nothing. Nothing. They didn't get an answer. They didn't get a voice. They got nothing. here comes Elijah. He says, well, said the old people, come near to me. And the people come near to him, and he repaired the old altar of the Lord that had been broken down by Jezebel. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. This interesting little thing here, because these 12 stones, at this point in time in history, Israel was actually split. 10 northern tribes, 2 southern tribes. They were split. They were not 12 tribes as of this time. In this time in history, they were separated. So that's kind of like a little thing. Elijah's going, I'm going to show you, you guys are going to be one. So they're watching this. Probably would have made some people mad, wouldn't you thought? Because if you're mad enough, I'm just going to ask you this quick. If you're mad enough to separate yourself from 2 of the tribes, 10, probably something bad happened. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. When we go back in our history, there's a lot of bad stuff happened. So they're separated. So Elijah says, no, you're 12. You're 12. When God chose Israel, when God, and I didn't want to look at it, but I'm going to have to. All right, Father. When God changed Jacob's name to Israel, I got to look at it. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 32. Sorry. I looked at this and I thought, nah, I'm not going to go there. But I'm going to, because I want you to see this. There's something about a name. You have a name. You are a child of the Almighty God. You have a name. Jacob is wrestling with an angel. A lot of people believe it was Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 26, he says, Jacob says, let me go. Or no, I'm sorry, the angel says, let me go, for day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me. Verse 27, the angel asked, what's your name? What's your name? He asked Jacob, says, what is your name? And the Amplified brings this out in really interesting. He says, and in shock of realization, Jacob whispers, he said, Jacob, which means supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. What's your name? What's your name? And he realizes his name, because that's what he is. He's a swindler. And he says, your name shall be called no more Jacob. No more going to be called a supplanter. You're not going to be called a trickster. You're not going to be called a swindler, but Israel. You know what Israel means? Contender with God. God named his people correctly. He named them Israel, which means contender with God. So what's in a name? A lot. Let's keep going here. I don't want to bog down too far because we'll get in trouble. So Elijah builds this altar. He puts with the stones. Elijah built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as his grate would contain 2 measures of seed. 2 measures of seed is about 4 gallons. Okay? 4 gallons. So, verse 33. He puts the wood in order and cuts the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering in the wood. Now, what are they in the middle of? A drought. What's probably worth a lot of money right now? What really would cost a lot to get right now? Water, right? He says, why don't you go get 4 gallons of water and just dump it over the whole thing? Wow. You think God's going to ask you for something that you really value? Yeah, he will. Because, you know, he needs you to understand that he is more important than anything you have. Do you understand that? In difficulty, God is forging you in your strength. Isn't that cool? So he says, you go get some water, dump it on this thing, going to get it all wet. And he says, do it a second time. Do you understand, Elijah, this is kind of expensive? We got no rain, this is water, we could be drinking this stuff, and you're just going to dump it out on the ground. Yeah, do it twice. Why don't you just do it 3 times? Just do it 3. Just do it 3 times. Let's make it even 3, right? That's not even an even number. So they do it 3 times. The water runs around the altar and it fills the trench. This thing is soaking wet. You couldn't light this with a blowtorch. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about this. This thing is soaking wet. And there's water in a trench around. I mean, this is wet. There's no way anybody's going to sneak in and put this on fire, right? That's why he did it, I think. At the time of the offering and evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. You catching that? He didn't say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you, the Lord, are God, and have turned their hearts back to you. When you pray, you go, Is that how you pray? Or do you come to God and say, Father, I know you are capable of anything. There is nothing you are not capable of doing. There is no power, no strength, nothing that you cannot do. I need something. Is that how we pray? Or do we pray? Is that how we pray? How do you pray? Do you believe God is God? Is He God in your life? Is He in charge of your life? If I die tomorrow, is that His plan? You better believe it. Huh? If I die tomorrow, it's His plan. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? And if I'm absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. Isn't that great? But I like it here, man. I like it when it's 24 degrees yesterday morning and I'm working and my hands are cold. I had to start a space heater. My hands are freezing. I'm working out there on metal. It's cold, you know? And by 10:30, it's 45 degrees. I'm peeling clothes off. Man, it's getting hot. I turn the space heater off. Man, it's getting hot. 30 degree difference in a couple hours. Is that crazy? I love that. I just love it. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? No, it's stupid. It'd be stupid to love it, right? That's what we do for a living, right? That's what we do. I'm like, is this place worth staying? Wow. When's your time? No, it's not. No, it's not. So, verse 38. The fire of the Lord fell, consumes the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and also licked up the water that was in the trench. Can you imagine this? This is just getting towards dark. I mean, this is the perfect time for fireworks, right? I mean, you don't watch fireworks. You want it to be dark. You can see them real well. And this is the time God sends fire from heaven. The wood, the stones, the dust, the water. Gone. Can you imagine that? I can't picture that in my head. What that would look like. And it says the fire licks up the water. You've seen dogs and lick water. You know what I mean? We all know what that's like. But it's like, that would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Fire just licks it all up. And it's gone. It's gone. Nothing left. What do the people do? They fell on their faces and it says, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Do you look for God to show up in your life? Now, He may not show up in that such an amazing way. Like that. And I wanted to make this very clear. God doesn't always show up in an amazing, miraculous, spectacular, whoa way. But He can. But He can. Isn't that cool? And when we're in the middle of a trial, Elijah was pretty brazen. I mean, his 450 guys, 850 guys, he said, maybe he's in his bathroom. I just make me chuckle. I was like, really? I never saw that before. He did a word study. It means he was in the restroom. It's like, really? Really? I mean, he's just throwing it on these guys. Bad. Did Elijah know who God was? Yeah. The question I have for you is, do you know who God is? Do you know in your difficulties? We're all getting older, ain't we, Paul? Paul shared with us a while back, he said, you know, the doctor said, you're really falling apart. That's not something you want to hear from the doctor, right? That is not a good statement, right? Jesse, right? It's not a good statement. We got some things we need to talk about. Really? I'm in perfect health. No, you're not. You're in bad shape. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Do I know who God is in our life? When you get older, you can't do the things you used to do when you're younger. I used to run all the time. I can't. I can run now a little bit here and there, but I mean, I'm not a runner. You know what I'm saying? Used to be, not anymore. I'm getting old. You know what I'm saying? Getting old, right, Les? We're getting old, and we have to temper our activities to our ability, right? Amen. Yeah, amen. But do we know that God is still in control? Do we know that we can get up in the morning and think, I'm tired. Father, I'm tired. I talked to a woman this week. She has 6 children. 3 are twins. Or triplets, I'm sorry. Triplets. Okay. This woman is a busy woman, wouldn't you say? I'm just saying out loud. She's a pretty busy woman. She said, you know, I will do anything I have to do to get up early enough to spend my first time with the Lord every morning. She's not getting a lot of sleep. I was impressed by that. I'm thinking, you know, here's a woman that understands that she can't do this without the Lord in her life. And she needs to start her day with the Lord. And she has got 6 kids to take care of, 3 little ones. Wow. And I think I got rough. Tim, yeah, brother. I see Becker shaking his head. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Tim's like, yeah, baby. Huh? Huh? And I think, I got it rough. All I got to do is get up and get myself ready and go to work. You know what I'm saying? Not a big deal, right? Huh? Do we know who God is? Do we know that God is in charge of our life? Do we know that when we ask Him for anything we ask, we are going to get it? Do we understand that sometimes we don't get what we ask for because maybe we ask amiss? And sometimes God says, that would hurt you. You don't need that. That would be bad for you. I'm not going to give that to you. And at the time, we're mad because God didn't give it to us. But down the road, you'll see, it's like, that was probably the best. Huh? Understand that God is still in control. When you ask, try to ask in His will. Because you know what? If you've got the Holy Spirit living inside you, leading and guiding you, won't you think you're going to get a little guidance on how to pray for a situation? Yeah. Can we truthfully say, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Huh? No matter what's happening in our life, no matter how bad our life is, no matter how messed up things is in our life, huh? No matter how bad we think we are, we look in the mirror, you know exactly the person you are when you look in the mirror, don't you? I don't do it much because I don't have much to take care of in the mirror, so it doesn't bother me. I don't look in the mirror. Ain't got to look at that guy. Some of you guys got to look in the mirror a lot because you got stuff to take care of. I don't have that. You know what I'm saying? So I can get away with that, not look in the mirror maybe once a week or something. You see what I'm saying? But when you look in the mirror and you see your reflection, do you say, boy, you're a sorry sap? You're a sorry sap! Or do you look in the mirror and say, you know what? You are a child of the Almighty God. You're an heir and joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to suffer some because you're an heir of Christ. But you know what? You're going to share in His glory. Isn't that great? Isn't that something? Doesn't it excite you just a little bit? It should, because knowing this life is full of stuff. And Elijah, keep going here. He, remember how we were dealing with this thing and it didn't rain? Elijah does some stuff. He kills these 450 prophets of Baal. That sounds kind of bad, doesn't it? That was the law back then, though. That was the law. He did what exactly God told him to do. Elijah, he tells Ahab, he says, you better go eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. It's still dry as a desert. So Ahab goes up to eat and drink, and Elijah goes to the top Carmel, and he bows himself down upon the earth and puts his face between his knees. Now, have you ever prayed to God like, you ever prayed like that? Have you ever been in need so badly that you needed to get a hold of God, and you got on your hands and knees and on your face before the God of the universe? It's a humbling experience. Do it every night before you go to bed. Because He'll bring to mind the things that He brought you through that day. He'll bring to mind the things that you had strength for that day. He'll bring to mind how awesome He is to you. And you can praise Him for all that stuff. And all that bad stuff that happened, yeah, but He got you through it. Elijah does this. He gets like that. He tells his servant, he says, go look towards the sea. And he says, I don't see nothing. So he sends him 7 times. And on the 7th time, Servant comes back and says, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. This ain't nothing. Just a little dabby thing. Nothing out there. Just the size of a man's hand. He says, you better go tell Ahab to get down off here because it's going to flat out start raining. And in a little while, the heavens were black with windswept clouds, and there was a great rain, and Ahab went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. He girded up his loins. Back then, they wore robes, long robes. And to walk, you had to pick that thing up and you tied it up so you could walk, run. Elijah picks that thing up, and what's he do? He ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel nearly 20 miles. Is he running in the power? And, okay, the king had the fastest horses, the best chariot. He had the best. He was the king. He had it all. Elijah outran the horses for 20 miles. You need some strength for your day? God can supply it. You need some peace for the day? God can supply it. You need some strength for the day? You need to get through this mess? God can supply it. We just have to ask Him for it. In your difficulty, no matter what that is in your life, God is molding you. He is shaping you. He is strengthening you. He is hardening you. So when... How many people older like me, when someone comes, I had to get that piece of paper! And you're like, okay, that's not really that big of a deal. But to them, it's like, I'm going to die! Huh? I tell you the story about my granddaughter. Got her leg wet, and she got, she's crying. So it'll never dry! Yeah, it will. But you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to talk about. There are people that go, and you said, I've been through that. We'll get through this. This is okay. But that's the neat thing about God in your life, because you see Him bringing you through stuff like this, and you can get stronger in this. And when someone else in the midst of it, you have compassion. Dougie brought up compassion for them. Your pain in my heart. That's compassion. If I can have compassion for you, I have to feel your pain. And that's important. As a Christian, that's important. Because when someone's in pain, you can feel that. And you could help them with that. Help them through that. If you need. Yeah. So when you're in the middle of something, and God has got you in the middle of something, in a difficulty, and you're saying, you know what? This is okay. Because I know I have a Lord and say, you know what? I'm an heir. I'm a co-heir with Christ. I'm a child of the Almighty God. You ought to put that on your mirror. I am a child of the Almighty God. You ought to put that on your mirror. You ought to have that on a plaque. You can look at that every day and think, I feel terrible. You know what? I'm a child of the Almighty God. Isn't that something? And He's pretty amazing, right? Doesn't that bring you up just a little bit? Maybe? Why do you do what you do? Huh? Because I'm a child of the Almighty God. And you know what? If He wants me to go do something today, I'm going to go do it. I don't feel like it. My leg hurts. I hit that thing on a... That knee is really sore. I'll go. Huh? No, but my knee hurts. No, I'll go. Huh? Is that what we do? You would think, no, I'll just sit here in the chair. Relax that knee till tomorrow. Huh? Is that what we do? I know it's exaggerated. I'm just trying to get a point across here, guys. God is in your life. You are a child of the Almighty God. No matter what comes against you, you are still His child. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, shut up. Father, we humbly come before Your throne. We look at Elijah. This is pretty amazing. And God, You were with him the whole way, every step of the way. Your strength, Your power, Your wisdom was with him in everything that he did. And I just ask that, Father, that as childs of the Almighty God, we could understand, Father, that Your Holy Spirit lives inside each and every one of us and dwells. Your power is readily available to us all. We just have to turn to You, Father. Look to Your face, knowing You are God. We pray, Father, to pray that Your word has fallen upon open ears and apply it to our lives, and we can love You. Father, we love You. Pray. Praise band comes down, and as the elders come forward, This is a time that we offer up every week. You come forward for prayer for anything you need prayer for. It doesn't matter if you got a hangnail or you got something major going on, whatever it is. We are here. We're just ambassadors for the Lord. We are here to praise and magnify His name every Sunday.